Okay, praise the Lord. Hello. Wake up. Nobody gets to sleep just because you had a nice meal. I fully expect to get through this pretty quick. And David said I have a mic here that we can use if we want to do a question and answer period afterwards. So if there's something that's been bothering you about the book of Enoch, something that was said, read, whatever, and you want to bring it up, bring it up. You know, it's probably, if it's bothering you, it's probably bothering everybody else. Okay? And then we'll go from there. I'm trying to figure out how to. I've taken my thing apart. We started on "I swear unto you" is where we should start today, the very top of the page. Everybody know where that is? And then the first verse of that is on the next page. And it says, "I swear unto you." Okay. Five pages from the back. Verse 106 as a fragment of the book of Noah. Okay, it's 105. It's probably 104. Yeah, because you're going backwards from 105 to the page in front of it.
Okay, I'll print some. I swear. Oh, I swear. 103.
No. Go over another page.
Now I swear.
No, it's this one right here.
I swear unto you.
The page in front of this.
That's the one I'm missing.
Oh, okay.
This is 103.
Okay, I think she's making copies. Does nobody has this page? Well, trust me, it's wonderful.
But then we did went through that, and then I think what we were at, it was almost like we got through 105.
No. No, that page, which is gone now. Oh, okay, I need it back. Has my note on it. Where is it?
I got it right here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, this is my start 11th. Right here, so. She's bringing you the paper. You guys don't have it. It is the one that's right in front of that. We did this.
Which one was it?
Do you have one right after 104? It's the right four into you.
No.
None of you do? No. Okay.
No.
This is a result of the copier, people at the copying place, just throwing it in and making a bunch of copies and not checking them. Boy, it's a good thing we have plenty of time, huh? Yes, sirree. Then the page after that is the one that says fragment of the book of Noah. 106, right? Y'all have that? And then after that, I heard this voice, and I came to him. And then after that, I saw written on them. Okay, and then after that, by God. And those who have been put to shame. And then that should be the last page of the book, huh? Okay. So the one missing is the one we're starting with. Anybody doesn't have it now? Anybody don't want it? Yeah, if they don't have it now, just listen closely and take notes. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to go through this book of Enoch, Lord God. We've been doing it now for 10 weeks. This will be our 11th week of going through these chapters and verses all the way through. And we're coming to the end of the book today. Ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd be our teacher and our guide. And we prayerfully ask for your help in knowing and understanding what this is and how it might apply to us and how it might apply to our lives, Lord God, and that we might come to a better relationship with our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Always had it's weird for me because I've always taught Bible. And when you teach Bible, you can just say, God anoint your word, because you're confident. But here, this isn't part of the canon. And it's really difficult to know exactly how God would have you to pray, other than to open our eyes and let us see what you have for us in this book. Amen? Okay, now we all know where we're starting. It says, I swear unto you that in heaven the angels remember you for good before the glory of the Great One, and your names are written before the glory of the Great One. Be hopeful, for aforetime were ye put to shame through ill and affliction. That's basically in this life. But now ye shall shine as the lights of heaven. So this is a doctrine established here in just a few words that the entire Old Testament struggles with. The Sadducees struggle with. Are you really going to shine in the next world? Is there a next world? The Sadducees say, no, there's no spirit, no next world. And yet, you know, Daniel talks about it. Job talks about the resurrection. But beyond that, it's really pretty much silent in the Old Testament about the resurrection. But when you hit the New Testament, it's all about resurrection. It's all about our life hereafter and living with the Lord and having a relationship. But when you look at the Old Testament, with all that's in there, this one statement here says just about as much as the entire Old Testament does. Amen? But now ye shall shine as the lights of heaven. Ye shall shine and ye shall be seen, and the portals of heaven shall be opened to you, and in your cry for judgment, it shall appear to you, for all your tribulation shall be visited on the rulers and on all those who helped those who plundered you. And I want to stop right there. There's a point in the book of Revelations, isn't there, where there's a set of souls that are underneath the altar, it says, and they're crying to God, how long, O faithful and true, till you avenge our death on those down there? Listen to this. It says that they're going to, that the portals, the way into heaven is there. You're there and you're going to cry before God the cries for judgment, and it shall appear to you because of the tribulation or the fact that they were martyred, visited on the rulers and those who helped those who plundered you. Be hopeful and cast not away your hope. Have an expectation for all of this and don't cast away your hope for the future. For your future in God. Enoch is teaching clearly here, or at least this part of the book is teaching clearly that we have a blessed hope. Isn't that what we all have, that blessed hope? That blessed expectation of where it's all going to come down. For ye shall have great joy as the angels of heaven. Wow. What shall ye be obliged to do? Question mark. Ye shall not have to hide on the day of judgment, And ye shall not be found as sinners, and the eternal judgment shall be far from you for all generations of the world. What an amazing statement. Because what are you going to do? What do you have to do in that day? You don't have to do anything. Because you're not the subject of the judgment. Your day has been taken care of. God has said they're righteous. And they have their hope and their expectation in me. And when the portals of heaven are opened, I mean, we shall be caught up. Caught up with him into the clouds through the portals. And now, fear not, ye righteous, when you see sinners growing strong and prospering in their ways. Be not companions with them, but keep afar from their violence, for ye shall become companions of the hosts of heaven. Wow! It's like night and day here. These people, you're going to see those people. They're going to prosper in this world. They're going to be strong. And you're not to be companions with them. Love not the world, nor the things of the world. For the things of this world are going to pass away. Keep far from their violence. For ye shall become companions of the hosts of heaven instead, because that's your inheritance. And although ye sinners say, all our sins shall not be searched out and be not written down, nevertheless they shall write down all your sins every day. And now I show unto you that light and darkness, day and night, shall see all your sins. You know, there are those, and they literally say, no man seeth my sin. Scripture, it just says that the wicked will say, no man seeth my sin. I'm getting away with it. I did it last night, nothing happened. I did it the night before, and nothing happened. And so, I'm going to do it tonight, and nothing will happen. I'm okay. We're going to get away with it. God doesn't care what I do. But he says, no. He says, day and night. Anytime, it's all being written down. You may not realize it, but it is. Be not godless in your hearts, and lie not, and alter not the words of righteousness. Don't try and change things around. Say, this isn't a problem anymore. I had a guy at work one time tell me, he says, you follow an antiquated system of morals and righteousness. It's antiquated, and it does not apply to this, to me and the people that I live with. It's antiquated, it's old, and it's gone. He knows now that it isn't. I say that because I told him. I said, oh, really? I said, so you think it's okay for somebody to kill you? He goes, no. I said, well, then it's not antiquated. Do you think it's okay to steal? No. Okay, well, it's not antiquated. See, all of these values that we have through the Word of God, they still hold. They just don't think it applies to them. See, and that no one, if they can get away with it. I once had a friend who was an evangelist, a minister working in the East. And he said the natives, they knew that it was wrong to steal, but only if you got caught. Your sin was getting caught, not doing it. You could do whatever you wanted as long as you didn't get caught. If you got caught, then you got punished. So the key wasn't what you did, it's getting caught. And that, you know, you laugh at that, but it's not funny because that's exactly how everyone in this world lives. It's only a sin if you get caught. And this has just told us you've already been caught. You've been caught, you just haven't been arrested yet. Be not godless in your hearts. Boy, you know, Jesus told us our sins are in our hearts. He says, I tell you, you know, you've been told in the law, don't commit adultery. But he says, I'm telling you, don't commit adultery in your heart. Because if you do that, you've already done it. And in here it says, don't be godless in your hearts. And lie not, and alter the words of righteousness, nor change the with lying words, the words of the Holy Great One, nor take account of your idols, for all your lying and all your godlessness issue not in righteousness, but in great sin. And now I know this mystery, that sinners will alter and pervert the words of righteousness in many ways, and will speak wicked words and lie and practice great deceits and write books concerning their words. But when they write down truthfully all of my words in their language, this is interesting, and do not change or diminish aught my words, but write them down truthfully, all that I first testified concerning them, then I know another mystery, that books will be given to the righteous and to the wise to become a joy, a cause of joy and uprightness and much wisdom. And to them shall the books be given, and they shall believe in them and rejoice over them, and then shall all the righteous who have learnt therefrom all the paths of uprightness be recompensed. You know, you've asked yourself, what don't you have? Fragment of the book of Noah? The top of that page, just before you get to 105? Okay, are we going? How many of you don't have the page? Nobody. You don't have the page. We'll get you one when we're... Give him your page, Linda. Aren't I kind? My wife will give him your page. All the righteous who have learned from there, all the paths of righteous, shall be recompensed. In other words, you've known these people. You say the guy's telling the truth, but his life isn't. The guy wrote a book. It's really a good book. But the guy's life stinks. And or he's gone off afterwards. God is saying, my word, put into books that are right, I can bless. Regardless of who it is that's putting it in there, I will anoint my word that it will bring forth fruit. That's a real revelation. That's a real revelation. Okay, God and Messiah to dwell with men. Number 105. Yours is coming, David. In those days, the Lord bade them to summons and to testify to the children of earth concerning their wisdom. Show it unto them, for ye shall be their guides and a recompense over the whole earth. For I, God, and my Son will be united with them forever in the paths of uprightness in their lives, and ye shall have peace. Rejoice, ye children of uprightness. Amen. It's the end of the statement there. So, this is the Father and the Son being united with the church, with the bride, and being with them forever and ever, shining as the lights of heaven and doing all the things we just read. Amen? Any questions?
That did not make sense, such as the ungodly apparently being blessed, until he went into the sanctuary of God. That is, then he understood therein. You know, Psalm 73.
Yeah.
I just had to comment on that.
Yeah. It's not, what we're reading in Enoch is not new doctrine. It's consistent with what the Bible teaches and what David went through. a lot of this last portion sounds just like what David went through, especially in the Proverbs and the Psalms, and just having to deal with the truths of life, that we're living right side by side. As I say, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. This day, the sun rose over there in the east, and it's going to go down, and everything that goes on in this city and in this town and in the weather, everything is falling on everybody here. It doesn't neglect us, nor does it neglect anyone else. And that's a hard thing to say, why aren't we separated from the harshness of this world? But we all live in this world, and we all go through what we go through to make us who we need to be for the eternity, for the day when the portals open. And he says, come on up and be united with me, and that we can live in heaven and be everything he wants us to be. Amen? Wow. Praise you, Lord. Now, I'm going to read the fragment of the book of Noah, because I'm not really sure right here where it stops. 106. Everybody have that? I mean, if you've been following along, you have it, because it's the same page. 106. After some days, my son Methuselah took a wife for his son Lamech, and she became pregnant by him and bore a son, and his body was white as snow and red as the blooming of a rose, and the hair on his head was his long locks were white as wool, and his eyes beautiful, and when he opened his eyes, he lighted up the whole house like the sun, and the whole house was very bright. And thereupon he arose in the hands of the midwife, opened his mouth, and conversed with the Lord of righteousness. Now, this is a really, really hard thing to understand. And although I think I watched... Anybody in here seen Ancient Aliens? Okay. Well, I watch it, especially if they're on a subject that I want to hear about. Because they do research and go places and do things that I can't do. And I can use them in that way. But sometimes they're... This being recorded, isn't it? Okay. So sometimes they're not as bright as they should be. And... they took this, Linda was there listening, and they said he was an alien. He was an alien because when his eyes opened, they flashed lights around the room. And they went through this description. And they said, and surely this was not a human being. And they said, and this was in the book of Enoch and everything. And I thought, yeah, okay. Take that, don't read anymore. Don't understand the truth. Don't accept anything else as the truth. Only what you want to see or hear. And in this case, I will give you my take. I've done this before, I know. That basically, Adam, the father of this line, basically was red. That's what Adam is. He's reddish. And we know that on down the line. That he was red, probably had dark hair, dark eyes. And his sons after him. Same genetic codes, basically, same markers. But God wanted to do a change, and he wanted to add genetically to what was going on in the world, because he knew that Noah was to be the savior of mankind. He was the man upon whom God bestowed grace to save our families and our race from destruction. And he said, I'm going to broaden things out. Instead of everybody having dark hair and reddish complexion, I'm going to spread it out to where there's the white. My mother was born a towhead, white hair when she was young. And the fair skin, the peaches and cream complexions, the eyes, instead of brown eyes, the blue eyes would look right through you. And you can bet that this was a shock to his father, going, uh-uh, not mine. And the bottom line is that God can go into your genetics, into your DNA, and all he has got to do is say, this to this amount, this to that amount, could. And he comes out, and he's a different man. And he's different than anybody else before him. And yet, his wife isn't. So all of their children are going to be a combination of the genetic codes of these two people coming through. Amen? And so the bottom line is, we got all the races there is because God took the time to broaden the gene pool with this man right here. See, I would suspect, this is just me. Well, I just suspect that when the Lord comes in and begins to prophesy through people, it says it's basically in the Old Testament, he would come down upon them and they would speak as they were being directed and given utterance by the Holy Spirit. And this child was being directed and given utterance from the Spirit of God. And the words that were coming out, everybody was amazed. Because it really wasn't a child with no learning and no place speaking. It was the Spirit of God coming down through the child, allowing him to converse with everybody in the room in the language of God. And they just blew them away. It would blow me away, you know, if you get out and see it. And he says, "Praise God, Dad." You know, I mean, I would probably run out, just like Lamech ends up doing. And his father Lamech was afraid of him, and he fled and came to his father Methuselah. And he said unto him, "I have begotten a strange son, diverse and unlike man, and resembling the sons of God of heaven." In other words, looking more like an angel. "And his nature is different." His very nature is different. "And he is not like us, and his eyes are like the rays of the sun, and his countenance is glorious. And it seems to me that he's not sprung from me, but from angels. And I fear that in this day a wonder may be wrought on the earth. And now, my father, I am here to petition thee and implore thee that thou mayest go to Enoch." Because I know, Dad, you got no answers. "But I know that I have a grandfather who knows God and has been taken to God and is among the watchers. And he can get me an answer. So would you please, Dad, go talk to your dad, our father, and learn from him the truth, for his dwelling place is amongst the angels." He knew that. "And when Methuselah heard the words of his son," he says, "You're right. He came to me to the ends of the earth, and for he had heard that I was there. And he cried aloud, and I heard his voice, and I came to him. And I said to him, 'Behold, here am I, my son. Wherefore hast thou come to me?' And he answered and said, 'Because of a great cause of anxiety have I come to thee, and because of a disturbing vision have I approached thee. And now, my father, hear me. Unto Lamech, my son," or Lamech, "there hath been born a son, the like of whom there is none, and his nature is not like man's nature, and the color of his body is whiter than snow and redder than the bloom of a rose. And the hair of his head is whiter than wool, and his eyes are like the rays of the sun. And he opened his eyes, and thereupon lighted up the whole house. And he arose in the hands of the midwife, and opened his mouth, and blessed the Lord of heaven. And his father Lamech became afraid, and fled to me, and did not believe that it was sprung from him, or he was sprung from him, but that he was in the likeness of the angels of heaven." Now see, if the ancient alien guys just read just this much further, they would know that they thought that he looked more like an angel, but certainly not an alien. "And because I have come to thee, and thou mayest make known unto me the truth." And I, Enoch, answered and said unto him, "The Lord will do a new thing on the earth." Yes, yeah, something's happening. "And this I have already seen in a vision, one, and make known to thee in the generation of my, and made make known to thee that in the generation of my father Jared, some angels of heaven transgress the word of the Lord. And behold, they commit sin and transgress the law, and have united themselves with women and commit sin with them. And they have married some of them, have begotten children by them. And they produce on the earth giants, not according to the spirit, but according to the flesh. And there shall be a great punishment on the earth, and the earth shall be cleansed from all impurity. Now, this is the impurity and the corruption the Bible talks about. It's not just talking about people being corrupt, but it's talking about the offspring of the Nephilim being corrupt. And so when God says that there was corruption in the earth and he caused a flood to get rid of the corruption, it was the corruption of the people through this crossbreeding. Yea, there shall come a great destruction over the whole earth, and there shall be a deluge and a great destruction for 1 year. And this son who has been born unto you shall be left on the earth, and his three children shall be saved with him when all mankind that are on the earth shall die. And he and his son shall be saved. And now make known to thy son Lamech that he who has been born is in truth his son. It's a work of God, but it's his son. And call his name Noah, for he shall be left to you, and he and his son shall be saved from the destruction which shall come upon the earth on account of all the sin and all the unrighteousness which shall be consummated on the earth in his days. And after that, there shall be still more unrighteousness than that was first consummated on the earth. In other words, after the flood, after Noah comes out and goes on in, there's going to be more. And it's going to be worse than ever. And of course, what do we say? Yeah. For I know the mysteries of the holy ones, for he, the Lord, has showed me and informed me, and I have read them in the holy tablets. It's all written down beforehand. And I saw written on them that generation upon generation shall transgress till a generation of righteousness arises, and transgression is destroyed, and sin passes away from the earth, and all manner of good comes upon it. And now, my son, go and make known to thy son Lamech that this son which has been born is in truth his son, and that this is no lie. He's not an angel. He's not an alien. He's your son. And when Methuselah heard these words of his father Enoch, for he had shown to him everything in secret, he returned and showed them to him and called the name of that son Noah, for he will comfort the earth after the destruction. Praise the Lord. Any comments? This is all just straightforward stuff. You guys are really getting into this. Because there would be a time if we read something like this, we'd all be going, I don't know. You know, but you begin to understand that, what God does and what God's doing in this earth is a miraculous thing. And there's a lot going on. Linda the other day told me, if you're right with you, Mark, Linda told me the other day, she goes, you know, I really do see things differently now than I did before Enoch. And so it's hard to put your finger on what makes things different. But now you just have a sense of the spiritual realities enveloping you all day. Yeah, Margie?
I was just thinking that last sentence that you wrote, he will comfort the earth after all the destruction. I know being a widow is a different kind of destruction than
Yeah.
And you're talking about an incredibly strong person that can look and see and then deal with the day-to-day what God will do anyway. It, it, this to me is
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a real special thing. You know, God talks about his planting of the earth. He does this in the parable of the tares. Okay, he says that he went out and planted a field. Planted it perfectly, and up come all the stuff that he wanted, and then all of a sudden they come to him and they tell him it's been polluted again and there are tares all through it. And he goes, and they said, should we just go in and rip it all up? And he says, I don't want to hurt the righteous. Okay. He says, so we're going to let them grow until a point, and we'll cut it all down. We'll put the righteous over here and we'll burn them. And the earth was cursed right along with Adam. The earth was told, you're not going to bring forth what you used to bring forth. I mean, that's a sad thing. But it says, all nature groaneth for the day of the redemption. That all the curses lifted. But this was he was a comfort to the earth. Perhaps in the near future, there's a book, another old Jewish manuscript that speaks to this time right here. It speaks to this time, and it speaks to Noah and to his sons and to what they did and what they didn't do. And it's called the Book of Jubilees. Anybody heard of it? Okay. The Book of Jubilees is a chronicle of the life from Adam all the way through till the children of Israel stood at the Jordan River to go in. And it chronicles everything down to the day. It tells all the wives' names of all the patriarchs. It talks, basically. And it's a book of Moshe, Moses. And it was given to Moses on the mountain the same time that he got the book of Genesis. It's different. It does different things. It doesn't violate or talk about anything. It just gives more chronicle. We'll pray about it, and maybe at some point in time we can look at it. Because, see, I can just say, and I thought, no, they haven't read that. So I can't tell you what it says. Okay. Another book, 108. Another book which Enoch wrote for his son Methuselah, and for those who will come after him, and keep the law in the last days. Ye who have done good shall wait for those days till an end is made of those who work evil. There will be an end. An end of the might of the transgressors. And ye wait indeed till sin is passed away. For their name shall be blotted out of the book of life. Sound familiar? And out of the holy books. And their seed shall be destroyed forever. And their spirits shall be slain. And they shall cry and make lamentation in a place that is a chaotic wilderness. And in the fire shall they burn, for there is no earth there. And I saw something like an invisible cloud, for by reason of its depth I could not look over. And I saw a flame of fire blazing brightly, and things like shining mountains circling and sweeping to and fro. And I want to stop there. Basically, we're talking about the judgment of the wicked. The judgment of the wicked, their lamentations being blotted out of the book of life. This is written long and come to us long before the New Testament. When we talk about the book of life. Amen? And the mountains are circling, sweeping to and fro. And I ask one of the holy angels who was with me and said unto him, what is this shining thing? For it is not a heaven, but only a flame of a blazing fire, and the voice of weeping and crying and lamentation and strong pain. And he said unto me, this place which thou seest here are cast the spirits of sinners and blasphemers, and those who work wickedness, and those who pervert everything that the Lord hath spoken through the mouth of the prophets, even the things that shall be, for some of them are written and inscribed above in heaven, in order that the angels may read them and know that which shall befall the sinners and the spirits of the humble and of the and those who have afflicted their bodies have been recompensed. Here he's saying that this is a pretty fearsome place, is it not? A pretty bad place. He goes, I don't understand. It's not heaven. And it doesn't look to be like hell, but yet it is. And they're in there being tormented. And they're the blasphemers. And then, of course, it says here that it's written down and inscribed above in heaven what shall befall sinners and the spirits of the humble. Our future is also inscribed. This is where people go to your predestination. Free will, you and I choose, but God knows what you will choose. See, in the beginning from the end. God sits over the top of everything that takes place. God is omnipotent. God is a spirit, must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And God is everywhere all the time, at all times, all the time. And there he is. He's overseeing all of this. And he sees the end and the beginning and everything in between. And he's had that written down in the book. He's handed it to the angels and said, this is it. This is how it's going to go down. And then we are doing that which God has presented us with, making our choices, walking our lives, living our lives. It's up to you. It's up to me. And those who have been recompensed. Next page. Getting a little old, this page. It's been on the back a while. But it still reads okay. And it starts out, have been recompensed by God of those who have been put to shame by wicked men, who love God and love neither gold nor silver nor any good things which are in the world, but gave over their bodies to torture. That's happening right now. It's happening right now in this world. Who since they came into being, longed not after earthly food, but regarded everything as a passing breath, and lived accordingly. And the Lord tried them much, and their spirits were found pure, so that they should bless his name. Man, this is a hard thing, but you know, the Bible talks about the martyrs for Christ. And even at the very end, in Revelations, they're saying how long the martyrs are till we get a recompense here. And the Lord says, hang on, there are still some who need to be martyred. There are still some that need to be martyred. Did you raise your hand? Did you? Okay. I thought you raised your hand and wanted to say something. Okay, cool. Accordingly, and the Lord tried them much, and their spirits were found so pure. Whoops, I've already. And he assigned them their recompense, because they have been found to be such as loved heaven more than their life in this world. And though they were trodden underfoot of wicked men, and experienced abuse and reviling from them, and were put to shame, yet they blessed me. And now I will summons the spirits of the good who belong to the generation of light, and I will transform those who were born in darkness, who in the flesh were not recompensed with such honor as their faithfulness deserved. People, you can live this life the way God wants you to live it, the very best way you know how. And it may never be shown anything that you did anything right. You know, we think that if you do everything right, everybody's going to see these righteous people. They're all going to be really good preachers, or they're going to be this, or they're going to be that. That is not true. God is saying here that the honor, as their faithfulness deserves, will be on the other side for those who don't get it on this side. And that we're not to look at people. I know people and I know men. And I thought to myself, God, that man will have reward in heaven. He won't have it here. But he's going to have it in heaven. And I just believe that with all my heart. And, you know, it's going to be like that. Good men. Good men living their lives, doing what God asked them to do. And nobody knows about it. no honor. They lived and died in obscurity. God says, I don't care. In that day and in that time, there will be a recompense and there will be honor as their faithfulness deserves. And I will bring forth a shining light those who have loved my holy name. And I will set each on the throne of his honor. You know, it talks about being on thrones with the Lord, being around. And they shall be resplendent for times without number. For righteousness is the judgment of God. For to the faithful he will give faithfulness in the habitation of upright paths. And they shall see those who were born in darkness, led in darkness, while the righteous shall be resplendent, and the sinners shall cry and see them resplendent, and they indeed will go where days and seasons are prescribed for them. Amen and amen. And that's the bottom line. You're going to go where your works tell you can go. We know now that God has made a covenant, not just with Jacob. It's a Jewish book. It's written for the Jews, and the Jews have gone through everything that is in here. But it also is for the Gentiles, those who come in through the Son of Man and into that relationship and love God. God didn't quit loving the Gentiles when he sent them all out over all the world, the children of Japheth, the children of Ham, and the Shemites. They went all over the world. God never quit loving any of them. He's not a respecter of persons. And in the end, everyone will be subject to how they responded to the Holy Spirit. How you respond to the Spirit of God as to whether or not you're going to love what He stands for or just love your own heart and what you want to do. Amen? Any comments? Yeah?
There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So we're talking about a way that a person has chosen to walk. A way. A person who's walking in the way of sin is going through that kind of a judgment. There's something that's troubled me from day one in my Christian walk. I started walking with the Lord full time in 1967. It's like, what does a person do, you know, when Jesus died for our sins, and then you accept that and you are cleansed? A question that always remained in my mind was, what happens to the sin that a person commits after? And there are people who believe you never commit a sin again, that you are walking in perfection. But this last year, the Lord has brought many things to my mind. One of them is the cloak of righteousness from the Lord. In the little devotional, Jesus Calling, in October sometime, I believe it was September or October, I think it was in October, but it talked about the righteousness of God that rests upon us. So when God looks at us, when we stumble, when we make a mistake, when we do something we shouldn't have done, thought, deed, word, however it is, sins of omission, sins of commission. But it's like his cloak of righteousness. Jesus died to pay for that cloak of righteousness for us. If we could pay for our sin, then we wouldn't need Jesus. So when I read that, it's like this heaviness. But I think we need to understand that you're talking about people. This indicates that if you're backslidden, if you do not come back to the Lord, I mean, this clearly stated, your name can be removed from the book of life. And it says that in our King James Bible too.
Sure. Yes,
but I was thinking about this, knowing that sin is a way. if you're walking without Jesus Christ, you're walking in the way of not just a sin. You're walking as a sinner. You're walking in the old Adam. You're walking
in your old nature. In your old nature.
The thing that you crucify daily. And I just wanted to clarify that, because if you sin after you find Jesus Christ, you are covered by the cloak of righteousness that Jesus paid for. You still have an advocate with the Father to get on your knees and say, Lord, I have sinned. And He will forgive. But He sees us with the blood of Jesus Christ on us. And to not walk in condemnation if you have a sin, because reading this, I thought, whoa. What if we did something, you know, or a person will say, what if I committed a sin and didn't ask Jesus to forgive me before I died? That type of thing. You're still, as believers, cloaked with His righteous garment. And when He looks at us, He sees that righteousness. So not to feel like we're all going to hell, or greater yet, hell will be delivered up on that day.
This is
cast into the outer darkness.
Right. This is the Armenian Calvinist's dilemma,
right,
between free will,
right,
and once saved, always saved, and you cannot sin once you're saved. And of course, when it says that in the Bible that you cannot sin, what it's saying is you cannot continue to sin because it shouldn't be part of your nature. But if you do, deal with it. You have to deal with it. You know better. See, when we were once in darkness, we walked in darkness just like the Gentiles. And we walked in darkness and we didn't know any better. We did dumb things and didn't know that it was wrong. Now that you know that it's wrong, now that you know that there's a propitiation for your sins, a way to set them aside and not have to pay the consequence of them, you have to take the time, choose to put them away. The sins that we have after you're saved, you know when you do it, because your heart tells you, and the Holy Spirit tells you, and you are convicted because you belong to God. No longer are you in darkness and can make excuses for your sins. You know it because there is that condemnation, and it is a condemnation. It comes in and says, Alan, you know better than that. You know that that was selfish. And I go, God, I know it was selfish, but I don't want it. Therefore, put it under the blood, O God, and forgive me of this sin. And allow me to stand upright again on my feet and go forward. And next time I'm selfish, you tell me. David said, look at me, God, look into my heart and tell me if there's any evil thing in my heart. Because I need to know. We all need to know. So that when we stand before God, we need not be ashamed. It says here, when you stand before God, what will you do? What can you do? And it says, nothing. God did it for you. There's no way that you can handle all your sins. But you can say, God, you know my heart, I love you. You know my heart, I want to serve you. You know in my heart, I want to do what's right. And God says, yes, I know that, Alan, and I'll take care of it. Here it is. I know it, Jerry, I'll take care of it. I know it, Walt, Gary, everybody. I know it. And you love me, and I love you. And I will see you through. It is my commitment to you through the blood that was shed on Calvary of my Son. I did not withhold my only begotten Son from you. And He died on the cross. And now, when you come to me and you say, I'm sorry, I believe you. Doesn't mean you can't go out and make mistakes. It doesn't mean you can't be confused. It doesn't mean you can't fall for a lie. It means that in God's grace, He's going to bring you home. He's not going to leave you there. And He's going to pick you back up. And He's going to put it, oh Lord, hallelujah. Man, can you imagine what life would be right now if we didn't have the Lord? Man, I mean, the world in darkness lies out there. There's a Christmas song, the world in darkness just lies out there. And they don't know. Right now they're having parties football parties, this kind of party, that kind of party. Everything's going on out there. They know not. Just like in the days of Noah, they knew not until the flood came, washed them all away. They had no concept of what was going on. Boy, that's what's really bothering me. That's really bothering me right now. Because there's good people. Children of good people. People, God says, I love the whole world. I didn't make them for destruction. They chose it. They chose not, but hey, how shall they hear unless a preacher tells them? How are they going to know if somebody doesn't tell them what's going on in the world? They have to be told. Someone has to take the time. You say, well, I've told everybody in my family at least 5 times. Now it's theirs. In Ezekiel, God says that. There was a hope. We started with that today. Is this that? Yes. Yes is a word. That's right. We're all stirred. We're all stirred that this world's coming to an end. Just like all of this is talking about. And there's going to be the goats on this side and the lambs and the sheep on this side. Man.
Worshiped afterwards, you saw that it still didn't quite go in.
Well, to some. Yes. I had a really hard time because, see, the word came forth up there in the balcony right next to us. Make me room. Yeah. I need room. There's no room in your heart for me right now. You're so busy with everything else that there's no room in your heart for the Holy Spirit to get in. And he said, make me room, make me room, make me room. And I felt like going down to the front of the sanctuary, taking the thing and saying, stop everybody. Are you making room? See, because this was the message from the Holy Spirit. You got to give me a place to go. You got to give me a place to get in there. And I sit in the balcony sometimes and I can look down. And I'm saying, there's a lot of people not making room. Yeah. I mean, it's easy to say, well, you're not making room. But you understand what I'm saying. Well, I tell you, there was an anointing. And then, the message came. God, you got to give me room. Somehow, some way, you've got to open up something and give me a place. And that all what that's really saying is, you have to choose me. You have to say, this is important than this. And by saying this right now is more important than that, you have then pushed this aside and put this in its place. And then it's part of your spirit. See, then it's part of you. It's more important than lunch. Okay? It's more important than anything else that's going on in your life. It's more important than other relationships. Yes, it is. It is the key to every relationship. And so, you've got to take something out to put something in. That's what he was saying. What are you going to give me? What are you going to set to the side that I might have room in your lives? And you know, we all have them. Crazy things sometimes that take up our time, take up our hearts. Seems to me, probably going to be done a little early today. Hallelujah. Do have a microphone if you want to have questions, comments. I appreciate what Margie was saying. All of the hard things of life. We don't want to see anybody gone. But sometimes I see it like a TV show. And we were watching the Thanksgiving Day parade. God was nowhere near that parade. I mean, he was. They were not anywhere near God. God is everywhere. God sees everything. God was protecting the people at that parade. And there were people there that knows him. But I thought, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? These people who are all dressed up in costumes and doing everything. And then yet, no one ever stopped and said, oh Lord God Almighty, creator of all heaven and earth. hallowed be thy name. We thank you for all that you've done for us. Nobody was going to do that. Especially on TV when all this fun stuff is going on. And all I could see was just the heartache and the pain that's coming to this world in the near future. It's never been like this before, people. It's never been like this. Not like this. What we call progress is not progress. It's exactly the opposite. Yeah.
Macy's pays $100. And when you have a break in there, then they give the performances to entertain people. And the whole reason is they want to entertain. They want to be, they see that as helping the thing along.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just like, when you think of 300 clowns at your own expense, they'll train you and pay you, they won't pay you anything ever. But I mean, it's just like,
yeah, that's probably something that you could make room.
I want to be a
that's
clown.
I have a hard time not being a clown. you have to push some things aside and allow things in.
Forget gazing, right?
Yeah. Praise the Lord. The Lord had joy above his brethren. Our Lord has joy above his brethren. Because I read some of this and I say, Lord, this is serious stuff. When we get to heaven, is it going to be serious stuff all the time? And he says, I have joy above my brethren. You know, it's not. It's life. It's life and being able to know that there's no condemnation. You know, I remember back when I was a kid and I was in school and I didn't do my homework. I know you guys didn't do that, but I did. Go to school. Have you ever gone into a class in junior high or high school, and you know they're going to require your homework, and you haven't done it? And you go in and you sit in class, and you're saying, maybe they'll forget. Maybe, and the teacher, he comes in, and he talks, and he's doing this, and then he goes, okay, everybody hand in your homework. And you kind of go, open a book or two, move some things around. But you didn't have your homework. That feeling is the feeling of sin. That feeling of knowing that you haven't done the requirements that were required and now you have to pay the piper. That feeling, I hate that feeling. I still remember that feeling of just knowing that I hadn't done my homework. And it was all I could do to get through the day. Well, that's what the world lives under when they're in sin. They haven't done their homework and they know it. And so what do? Anything else. Anything else will do other than to admit who they are and where they're at and what they're doing and what the penalty is. They just won't do it. Anybody else? Okay. Lord, 11 weeks. We've gone through this book page by page, word by word, talked, turned around and pushed and shoved and talked about things and had slides and a potluck. And Lord, we just want to thank you for it. I thank you for the man Enoch that we know lived according to the Bible. And that he pleased you. And now I know why he pleased you. And now, Lord God, I know why he was a special man in the Bible. And why he was mentioned by Jude. And the things that went on around him. I thank you for that. Lord, help us to know and to understand, Lord God, the world in which we live. And we appreciate all of this. And Lord God, today, as a class and as individuals, we want to make room for you. We want you to come into our hearts and to revive our hearts in all the places that need revived. Maybe we need to move out a whole bunch more than just one place, but let us do it. Let us choose you, God. Lord, set our feet a-dancing. Lord God, in your spirit, that we might have that hope, that vision of the future. The future, Lord God, that you have for the righteous. But let us never forget, Lord God, the other. That we might be complacent in the time that we have now of trying to woo, Lord God, those who need your help. those, O God, who need to choose you back to you and back into the grace that they might be saved and delivered, O God, from the world that they're in. In Jesus' name, amen. Appreciate you all coming, putting up with it.